The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Kisiso. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Kisiso es reish b'nei Yisrael ifkudehem. When you count all of the people of Israel, then each one should give a certain amount of money, which will be a kapora, an atonement for himself, in order that there should not be a negev, a plague, when you count them. This is what everyone should give, whoever is qualified to go into the army of Hashem, that was from every male person from 20 years up, 20 years old and higher. Machasis ha-shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh. They should give a half a shekel of the shekel ha-kodesh. There was a certain silver coin, and it weighed a shekel, and they should give a half of this. This was esrim geiro ha-shekel. The shekel was made up of 20 geiros. This was the amount of the silver. Machasis ha-shekel truma l'Hashem. Each one should get half of this, give half of this. It should be a truma l'Hashem, an uplifting to Hashem. And then the Torah tells us, it goes into more detail on this mitzvah of Machasis HaShekel. Rashi brings from the Chazal, what does it mean that when you count them, you should count them by having everyone give a Machasis HaShekel in order that they should not be a negev, in order that they should not be a plague. So Rashi says, Shehaminyan Shelik Bayayin Hara. When you count people, there's a possibility that, heaven forbid, you might bring a plague on them, upon them. Because on something that is counted, there is ein hara, ein hora, the evil eye. Vahadever bo alehem. And then dever, plague can come upon them, heaven forbid. Kimeshu metzidu bimei David, like we find in the time of David, that they counted the people, and the plague came. So here we have a source where the Torah is cheshish. Takes in account the power of Ein Hora, of what we might translate as the evil eye. And there are many sources in the Torah for this, and in the Shas, in the Talmud. A little further in our Sedra, we have the episode of the Egel Azov, the golden calf. The Torah was given on Shavuos, and all of Israel heard the Ten Commandments. Inclusive in that was the entire Torah. It was amidst a great gilui, a great revelation to all of the people. They saw fire come down upon the mountain. They saw the cloud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They heard all of the thunders, the Keles Ubrokim, and they saw all of the lightning. And it was in the presence of all of Klal Yisrael. Then Moshe stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he was supposed to come down according to the calculation of Klal Yisrael, on that day he didn't come. The people panicked, and they built for themselves a golden calf. The next day Moshe came. And when he saw what was happening, he broke the luchas, he broke the tablets. He judged the people. The following day, he went up to the mountain again. And he was mispalel. He beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 40 days and 40 nights that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive the people. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Psol lecho, hew out second tablets, and I will forgive the people." Now, as far as exactly what took place with the golden calf, why? This is something that we won't go into this evening, because we've gone into this several times the past years on this parsha. But one thing that we can notice is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to hew out the second tablets and then come up to the mountain and I will give them to you, there was a distinct difference between the way the first ones were given and the second ones. The first ones were given very privately. The second ones were given very privately. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was present. While the first one was given amidst great pomp and circumstance. Why? So the sages tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the first ones that were given amidst such great pomp and circumstance, and such multitudes of people, and such revelation, Sholto Bei Ein Hora. We see that the evil eye was able to find a place to affect it. And in the end was Nishtabru, they became broken. Yofe HaTznius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Tznius, which means privacy, modesty. There's nothing better than that. This time when I give the second tablets, I want you alone, Moshe, no one else. Okay. I want to give it in a private manner. In another parsha, that we'll be learning not long from now, in Parsha's Pikudei, states, Eile Pikudei HaMishkon, Mishkan HaEdus Asher Pukar Al Pi Meshe. These are all of the amounts of the material needed for the Mishkan, which were all calculated and counted by Meshe. Avedis HaLevim B'Yarisoma Ben Aharon HaKohen. Through the Aved of the Levim, which was under the hand of Isomer ben Aharon HaKohen. And the sages, the Chazal Darshan, it states, Eile Pekudei, these are the calculations and the counting of the Mishkon, Mishkan or Edus, the sanctuary of the testimony. It says sanctuary twice. Now the word Mishkon means a sanctuary, but the word Mishkan also can mean Mashkein. A mashkin, something which is taken for security. So Rashi brings the drasha. Shnei pomim remez lemishkon lemigdash shenis mashkin bishnei churbonin ala v'nisayin shel Yisrael. Writes mishkon twice to tell us that the mishkon, the Beis Hamikdash, was taken from us. Just like you give someone security, it's taken from you. The mishkon was taken from us twice. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Babylonians, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Romans. The Maral in the Sefer Goraye asks a very good question. If the Torah wanted to tell us that the Mishkan was taken from us twice, why did it choose here? This is in Parshas Pikudei. By then we've been learning about the Mishkan in Parshas Vayakel, and in Parshas Kisiso, and in Parshas Tetzaveh, and in Parshas Truma. So why did the Torah right here choose to tell us this drosho, that the Mishkan was taken from us twice? So Nisi answers, because this particular Parsha here is dealing with the counting of all of the material and all of the aspects of the Mishkan. And we find that the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash was Hakol B'minyan, U'B'mido U'B'mishko. The measurements were exact. How large everything must be, how much must everything weigh, how many of everything there should be. This is true by the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and this is true by the Beis HaMikdash. And the Novi, the prophet, stated how everything must be measured out. And the Gemara tells us that on anything that is a Dover Shebeminyan, anything that's counted out, there's always the possibility of Sholto Be'ena Bisho, that Ein Hora can take effect. So since the Beis HaMikdash was something which was always counted and calculated and measured, the Torah is telling us here that evidently this was the weak spot. It's not that this destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. What destroyed the Beis HaMikdash is what Rashi brings Alav and Isehan because of our Averus. It's not that the Ayin Hora destroyed the second Luchas. It was our Averus. But when you have a weak spot, just like if there's a weak spot in the body, infection is more prone. It's not the weakness, it's the infection. But there's a place for the infection to attack. Here was a weak spot. This is why here the Torah tells us that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be taken from us twice. So here we have right in these sedras, we see the power of the Ein Hora. And Jews were always very much aware of this. And that's why Jews were always saying, "Ken Ein Hora," that there shouldn't be an Ein Hora. Could you give me a Gemara? Masechta Bava Basra. We in the yeshiva are studying now Masechta Bava Basra. The Gemara also brings it. The first Mishnah brings that you can force your neighbor, if you have a garden, a vegetable garden, you can force your neighbor to participate in the building of a wall that will give you some privacy. So the Gemara says we can understand why you might want privacy in your chotzar, in your yard. But why in a garden should you want privacy? If you're growing vegetables, what do you need privacy for? So the Gemara brings Gino Shani, Kirababo. The Omar Rababo, Omar Afuna, Omar Ab. Gino's different. Like Rababo said, in the name of Rav, Huna, in the name of Rav, Osa lo odam lama ibisdei havere ibishoshi oimedes bekeimasecha. A person is not allowed to stand and gaze at another person's land at the time when the crops are in full bloom, because he can cause it an Ein Hora. So therefore, he's a potential mazik. There's a potential damage here involved. And you might have a case against him. That if he's your neighbor, maybe he might have to participate in helping to build a wall in order that he shouldn't damage you. This is what the Gemara brings. So we see that Ein Hora even finds its way into the halacha. Actually understand what is the power of the Ein Hora. This is something which perhaps is beyond us. But we do see that it's a force in the world. And we do see this much. The Gemara tells us in many places that brocha, blessing, is found on something which is concealed. Something which is revealed, that leaves itself prone to the opposite of brocha, to the opposite of blessing. For example, the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, Ein habrocha metzuya al dovish bemida ubemishkol beminyan ela al dovish bechusa min ha'ayin. The brocha is found on something which is not already counted out, not already measured, but on something which is concealed. Here we see that brocha is related to something which is somui min ha'ayin, something which is concealed from the eye. We also see this in the Torah from Yosef. The Torah brings that Yosef was blessed with many, many brachas. He had success wherever he went, even though he was constantly up against all odds. He was sold to Egypt as a slave. And he was bought by Potiphar and worked his way up to the point where he became the managing director of all of his estates. It said that Potiphar, there was no one over him except Potiphar himself. After the episode with the wife of Potiphar, he was thrown into the dungeon, and he worked his way up until he became the associate to the warden. When he left the dungeon, he was taken to Pare, and he worked his way up to where he became the viceroy. And the Torah tells us that whatever he did, itzliach, he was successful. And there could have been more obstacles than anyone should have in his way. And everyone who saw him found chen in his eyes. They all found grace by him. They liked what they saw. And then further, he became a mighty and powerful monarch, and he became a person who had amassed tremendous wealth, because everybody came to buy food from Egypt. The famine had spread over that entire part of the world. So he sold the food for the money they had. Kitama kosev, and when there was no more money, then he sold the food to them for their animals. And when there were no more animals, then he sold the food for them to themselves. They sold themselves as slaves. And their lands, he bought up the land. Until eventually he was malakit kol kesef shebeilam. He had collected all of the money in the world. And he was known as the Baal Brocha. That anything he touched turned to Brocha. And again, it's not that he had it easy. Some people have it easy. His brothers tried to kill him. And Potiphar tried to kill him. And in the dungeon and so forth. Anything he touched turned to Brocha. It says everything he did, he was Matzliach. And everyone saw only good in him. This was Yosef. And we find that in the brochas, which Yaakov Avinu blessed all of his children before his death in Parshas Vayechi, he called all of his 12 sons and he gave them all brochas, but not by one is mentioned the word brocha. He blessed them all, but the word brocha is not mentioned by any son, with the exception of Yosef. There, not only is it mentioned once, but it's mentioned many times. States, Mekel Avicha Vayazreko, this is in Parshas Vayechi, Parshas Memtes, Posuk Chofei, Mekel Avicha Vayazreko Veishadai Vivacheko. The word Brocha. Birchei Shomai Me'ol, Birchei Shtaim Reveses Tochas, Birchei Shadayim Verocha. Four times the word Brocha is mentioned in that Posuk. Birchei Shavicha Govro Al Birchei Shairai. Another two times Brocha is mentioned. And it's because of this the Vilna Gaon learns that the main Brochas, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham, by Lech Lecha Mi'atzecha, and by the Akedah, by the sacrifice of Yitzchok, and Avraham gave it to Yitzchok, and Yitzchok gave it to Yaakov, these main Brochas went to Yosef. So we see he was known as the Baal Brocha. Now also we see another fact by Yosef. That Yosef was given a brocha of a good eye. One of the brochas that his father gave him, here in Parshas Vayechi, is Bein Pores, this is in Posichov Beis, Bein Pores Yosef, Bein Pores Ale Oin, which means Yosef, a son of beauty. Whoever will look at you will see only good and beauty. A son of beauty, Ale Oin, you will always be beautiful to the eye that gazes at you. He gave him the broch of the good eye, which is just the opposite of the eye and horror of the evil eye. And there was a reason why Yosef gained such a brocha. And this is brought earlier in Parshas Vayishlach, that when Yaakov was returning from Lavan's house, and he had married Leah, and he had married Rachel, and he was returning to his father, and he met Esau. and he was afraid of war. So he lined up his family, and it states that all of the children of each mother stood in front of the mother of each children of all of the children stood in front of them. When it came to Rachel, Yosef went in front of Rachel, and Yosef was tall, and he stood up in order to protect his mother Rachel from the gaze of Esav. And he said that Esav is a Rosha. I do not want him to cast his evil eye against my mother. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that since you rose up, you unveiled all of your height, Higdalto, Atzmecho, in order to protect your mother against the evil eye of Esav, so I will give you in turn Gedula. You will become a king, and you will always be protected against the evil eye. You were interested not in protecting yourself. You were interested in protecting your mother Rachel against the evil eye. You will always be protected against the evil eye. And therefore we find by Yosef, whoever looked at him could only see good. And we see that he always had bracha. We see this even further, because when the brothers came down to Yosef, and he saw Binyamin for the first time, his brother, after so many years, he gave his brother a bracha, Hashem yochnechoch bini, that you shall be blessed with chayn, you shall be blessed with beauty. Now chayn is the type of beauty that is beautiful to the other person's eye. There are different types of beauty. There's a type of beauty which is yifui. Yifui is a type of beauty which is realistic. Either a person is beautiful or he's not. A painting is either beautiful or it's not. There are ways of measuring this. But chayn is always al re'eho. Chayn is always linked to the one who's looking at it. Some people like it one way, some people like another way. Some people like this color, some people like that color. So chayn is a beauty, is an attraction in accordance to the one who is gazing at it. This was the brocha that he gave to Binyamin, that you should always have chayn and be beautiful to whoever who will see you. So this brocha that he had, he gave over to his brother. Now we see one step further. Yosef had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. When Ephraim and Manasseh were brought to Yaakov, before Yaakov's death, so Yaakov wanted to give them a special brocha, because they weren't like another generation. They were like the Shvatim, Keruven, Vishimen, Yuli, Yaakov said. They will be just like my own sons. So he brought Ephraim and Manasseh. And this is also in Parshas Vayechi. And he said to them, Hamalach Hagoyel Esi Mikol Ro, the angel which has redeemed me from all evil, Yivorech Esanoorim, he shall bless these two young sons, V'yikorei Vahem Shmi V'Shem Avesai Avraham V'Yitzchok, and they shall be called on my name and on the name of my fathers Avraham and Yitzchok, V'Yidgu L'Reiv B'Kerv Oretz, and they shall Yidgu. Yidgu means they shall multiply like dogim, they shall multiply like fish in the land. This is the brocha that he gave them. This is in Bereishis Mem Ches, Pasuk Tes Zayin. What does it mean, they shall multiply like fish? Why did he give them such a brocha? So Rashi tells us, Kidogim alolo sheporim verobim ve'ein ayin hore sheletes bohem. Because the fish are free from the ayin hore. They're free from the evil eye. And this was the brocha that he wanted to give Yosef's children, because he knew that Yosef had this brocha of being free from the evil eye. Why are fish free from the evil eye? So the Gemara tells us, Sharehe mechusim min ha'ayin, because you can't see them. The evil eye has a power over on only on something that it sees. Fish you don't see, they're in the sea, they're in the ocean, you can't see them. Since they are mechusim min ha'ayin, therefore there is no evil eye on them. And therefore the Gemara says, they are porim verovim, they multiply faster and in greater number than any other species. Why are there so many fish? Because they're mechusim min ha'ayin. They're hidden from the eye, and they multiply, and therefore they have brocha, and they multiply more than any other. You know, we see what Bnei Adam, what people have done to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Because of all of the Nivroim, of all of the creations, fish was given that brocha where it would be free from the evil eye and would multiply in great multitudes. Not long ago, a few years ago, a man from Cape Town came through the yeshiva. He would come often, he would have yahrzeits or whatever, when he would be in Johannesburg and he had yahrzeit, he'd come to the yeshiva. And he was a person who was in the fishing industry. He was involved in the fishing industry in the Cape Town and in Johannesburg. And he would go to the Far East, he told me, and he would go to Alaska. So he told me that fish always was a poor man's food. Today it's become a rich man's food. He says, because the resources of fish are almost totally annihilated. He says, wherever you go, he says, whether it's the Far East or whether it's Alaska, it's the Pacific. He says, today, fishery is different than it was 25, 50 years ago. He says, he's been on boats up in Alaska where the fish don't stand a chance. All computerized. Right on the boat, they'll tell you exactly what type of fish is at every level of the ocean. He says, they don't stand a chance. And they totally destroy all of the resources of fish. And here in South Africa, I mean, those of you who saw in the newspapers in the past few years know that there's been a tremendous, tremendous loss of fishing resources here. But now, we think a minute. Fish were given the brocha where they can be multiply greater in greater numbers than any other species. They're mechusim min ha'ayin. And still man, in his selfishness, for the purpose of self-exploitation, self-advancement, has destroyed the international resources of the fish. At any rate, though, this was the brocha that Yaakov gave to Yosef, to his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. V'yid gulareiv, they should multiply like fish. Why like fish? Shalei sholta b'em ayin hora, because there's no ayin hora on them. Because they're mechusim min ha'ayin, because they're concealed from the eye. They're in the waters. Something which is concealed from the eye, therefore, has great brocha. Brocha's growth. Therefore, they multiply. So we see that Yosef was a Baal Brocha. He was the one that had tremendous growth, tremendous brocha. And anyone who looked at him saw only good. There was always chayin, bein poris. And he was free of the ayin hara, of the evil eye. And this he was zeicha to, because he wanted to protect his mother from the evil eye of Esav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, midah keneged midah. You wanted to protect your mother, then I will protect you. And this he gave unto his children. And the Gemara brings by Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was very beautiful, very handsome. And at one time he was doing something and the Gemara said, aren't you afraid of Eino Bisho, aren't you afraid of an Ein Hora? He said, no, Anomi Yosef Kasino. He says, I come from Yosef. He says, we don't worry about Ein Hora. And the Gemara brings that the Shevet of Yosef, the tribe of Yosef, numbered more than all of the other Shvatim because of that reason. They didn't have to worry about the Ein Hora because they came from Yosef. So we see that Brocha has to do with something which is concealed. And Cholila, Klola, has to do with something that is revealed. And therefore we find here in these parshas, when it was revealed, you counted people explicitly, and it was revealed explicitly just how many people there were. This could bring an Ein Hora. The first tablets that were given publicly with great publicity, this could bring an Ein Hora. The Beis HaMikdash that was explicitly measured and counted and calculated in each aspect, this would bring an Ein Hora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said on the second Luchais, Yofe Hatznius. He says, let's do it privately this time, so we don't have to worry about the Ein Hora. There's nothing more beautiful than snius, than modesty, than privacy. We also find this. The Gemara brings in Masechta Baba Basra that in the Beis HaMikdash, as you came in to the Heichal, to one of the inner chambers, you were coming from east to west. And on your right side, which was the north, so there you had the Shulchan, the table. And on your left side, which was the south, there you had the menorah. The Shulchan represented the physical, material wealth of the world, the table. And therefore it said this was the keser, the crown of kingship. A king represents physical, material wealth. The menorah, this represented wisdom. Light represents wisdom. And the Gemara tells us, therefore, Hareitzi Yashir. If you want to become wealthy, Yatzpin. So then turn towards the north, daven towards the north. Because on the north side was where the Shulchan, the table was. And that represented the material wealth. Hareitzi Yachim, if you want to become wise, so then turn towards the south. Because there was Yadrim, there was the menorah. The Maral explains why do we find that the material wealth seems to be in the north side. So he gives an explanation without going being elaborate, but just to give us a little inkling. The north side was called Tzofe. That's what north is called. Because I'll say, why was it called Tzofein? Because Tzofein, Tzofun, means concealed. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the north he created to be concealed. What does that mean? This is we don't know. But he created the north to be concealed. And since Ein HaBrocha Ela Bamesh Shesomu Imina Ayin, Brocha is found only by something which is concealed. That's why the Brocha, the material wealth, is found on the north side. And that's why the Shulchan, the table in the Beis HaMikdash, was on the north side. So again we find that if something is concealed, it's Brocha. If something is revealed, this, heaven forbid, can bring to Klola. Now, what we're speaking about now, the Ein Hora, and the Ein Hora is Shailet, has a power over something which is in the eye of the public. And Brocha has a power over something which is not in the eye of the public. Really, this is related, directly related to another subject. And this is a subject which is known as Tznius. Many times in the Gemara, we have the word sonua, tznius. It's difficult to directly translate that word. Some of the translations might be, in Yiddish it would be behalten. See, the Yiddish word would be behalten. Exactly how to translate that in English might be a little difficult. One word might be modest, one word might be private, one word might be perhaps a little withdrawn, or low profile. I guess behalten means all of these things. But that would be some of the translations of the word snus, tsonua. Unfortunately, many people think that the midah, the quality of tsnius, of modesty, basically deals with one's physical body. That one should not reveal parts of the physical body that should not be revealed, or at a time or a place where they should not be revealed. That is the opposite of tsnius. And tsnius would be to cover one's body when necessary. Unfortunately, this is a very narrow interpretation of what the midah is, as we'll see from the Gemaras. That's also true. That's included in the midah. See? But that's only the tip of the iceberg. We'll see from the Gemara that tsnius has to do with how one learns Torah. There we're not talking about revealing or concealing a person's body. Tsnius has to do with how one does mitzvahs. Tsnius has to do with how one speaks. Tsnius has to do with how one keeps secrets or reveals secrets. This is what we'll see for the Gemaras. The Gemara brings first there's a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Yud Aleph Beis. Bo zodoin vayovei kolein ve'esnuim chochma. Someone who is immodest, he will bring shame and embarrassment to himself. Ve'esnuim, but the modest, they will have chochma. They will have wisdom of Torah. From here we see that a person who has the mannerism of modesty, of privacy, he will be zeche, he will have chochmas haTorah. We see that wisdom of Torah is linked to modesty. The Gemara brings in Masechet Beit Katan, and Daf Tes Vov. Seif Omer Aleph and there's Vav Omer Beis. No, it's Tes Zayin and of Tes Zayin. Seif Omer Aleph and Seif Omer Beis. Shuv pam echot goza Rebbe Reb Yehuda Nosi, the great Tana, made a decree. Shela yishanu l'talmidim besuka. He made a decree that all of the chachomim shall not teach Torah to their disciples in the marketplace. They want to teach Torah, they have to come into the yeshivas, into the bote midroshim or the bote kinesios. But in the marketplace, they should not teach Torah. My Dorish, he says, on what did he base this? He based this on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. In Shir HaShirim, which was written by Shlomo HaMelech, Perek Zayin, pasuk Beis. Mayofu peomayich bano olim bas nodiv.
Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir HaShirim as a love song between a man and a woman. And the parable represented a love song between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mayofu Pe'omayich Banoli Bas Nadiv, that the daughter of the prince, how beautiful are your feet. Chamuke Yirechayich Kemeich Aloim, your thighs are beautiful like golden jewels. Mase Yidei Omon, the work of a great craftsman. Your thighs are as beautiful as golden jewels, the work of a great craftsman. So what is this referring to? So the Gemara says, the craftsman is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's the great craftsman? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is his greatest handiwork? His Torah. So Shlomo HaMelech was speaking to the Torah. Your Torah is as beautiful as jewels, the work of a master craftsman. Now when he referred to the Torah, what did he call it? He called it a thigh. See? Your thighs are as beautiful as jewels of gold, the work of a great master. The master is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the thigh is his handiwork, the Torah. Your Torah is as beautiful as jewels. And he referred to it as a thigh. So the Gemara asks, what did he refer to it as a thigh for? My dorish chamuki yerechayech kumech haloim, ma yerech beseiser, af divreitere beseiser. He referred to it as a thigh, because a thigh of a person is the part of the body that is always covered, always concealed. And this is the common aspect between the thigh and the Torah. Mayerech beseiser, just like a person's thigh is concealed, is in secret, av divrei Torah beseiser. Torah also must be dealt in that same manner. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi decreed, he says, I don't want anyone teaching Torah out in the streets, in the marketplaces. You want to teach Torah, you come into the Beis HaMedrash to teach Torah. Because Torah, Shlomo HaMelech referred to as a yerech, ma yerech beseiser av divrei Torah beseiser. The Torah is like the thigh. A thigh is to be concealed. Divrei Torah also must be concealed. It must be with snius, with modesty. Then, the Gemara brings Reb Chiya, Yotzer Reb Chiya v'shona l'shnei b'nei Yechov b'shuk. Reb Chiya also was a very great Tana, although he was a little later than Rebbe, about the same time, but I mean a little younger. And he went and he taught two brothers in the marketplace, taught them Torah in the marketplace. So when they heard this, they became angry. Well, why is Reb Chiya doing this? Rebbe said not to do it. So they called him in. My time over in Marhochi. Why are you doing like this? So he said, there's a pasuk in Mishle. In Mishle Aleph. Mishle Aleph pasuk Chof. It states, Chochmas Bachutz Toronu. The wisdom will ring out to the outside. Borcheva is titein kelo, and the Torah will give forth her voice into the streets. She says, what are you darshaning? You shouldn't teach Torah in the streets. Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Mishle that the wisdom of Torah will go forth outside. It will give forth its voice into the streets. This is what he said. So he answered him, Amalei, he said, Im koriso, if you learned once, Leishonisa, you didn't chazu, you didn't learn a second time. Im shonisa, if you learned it a second time, Leishilishta shilashto, you didn't learn it a third time. Im shilashto, and if you learned it a third time, Leipirshuloch, you still didn't learn right. Right, what it meant. Chochmas bachutz teironu, that the wisdom of Torah will go out and ring in the streets outside. That's kidrova, domarova, kolaisik, beteribiv, nim teirosa, machrezes, olav, mi bachutz. That means that those who study Torah mibifnim, those who study Torah inside, secretly, with modesty, their reputation will go out through the world. That's what it means, chochmo bachutz teirono, that the wisdom will go out into the world. The reputations of the scholars will go out of the world when? Into the world when? When they learn inside. But not that you should learn outside. This is what he answered. So then he said, he brought him another pasuk. Bohaksiv, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Lei Meiresh, Meiresh, Beseisu Dibauti, that when I, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, that when I spoke to Klal Yisrael, I did not speak secretly. In other words, Torah should be taught to great multitudes. So he said, Ahu biyume de kalo. That was in the time of the kalo. They had what they called the kalo, that once a year, all the great scholars and all the great Talmidim from Bovel, from Eretz Yisrael, would come together. And there would be so many people that they couldn't go into a Beis HaMedrash. A Beis HaMedrash couldn't hold them. So they would have to hold droshes outside. So then they were permitted to teach Torah outside. But otherwise, Torah is to be taught inside. Why? Because Shlema HaMelech referred to the Torah as a yerech, as a thigh. Ma yerech b'seiser, a person's thigh is concealed, av divrei Torah b'seiser. Divrei Torah also must be in a modest, private fashion. Therefore, Rebbe said, don't teach Torah in the marketplaces. Come into the Beis HaMedrash. The Pasuk says, Chochmas bat chutz toroinu, that the wisdom of the Torah will... Now, what do we see from here? So the Maralin is Nesiv Atznius. He says we see from here, and from the Pasuk, that Shlema HaMelech brought in Mishle, that the wisdom of Torah is synonymous, is linked to Tznius, to modesty. Like Shlema HaMelech brought, that the Pasuk was, Bo Zedin Ve'yovei Kolein Ve'snuim Chochma, that those who are not modest, so they will have shame, but the modest will have wisdom. That wisdom belongs to the modest. And not only wisdom will belong to the modest, but the way a person conducts himself with Torah must be in a modest fashion, must be tsanua. What is the reason? So he says, by Torah there's a very understandable reason. Because Torah itself is hidden. The wisdom of Torah is b'seiser, is hidden. There are other wisdoms in the world which are open. They're revealed to everyone. Anyone who wants can come and simply open a book and study them. Torah is not like that. Not anyone can walk in and open up a sefer and all of a sudden he'll know Torah. The Medrash says, Elef nichnas v'yotze echod, of 1,000 that will go to study Torah, one will come out to be very wise in Torah. Echod yotze lehiro. Everyone has the opportunity to study Torah. But it doesn't mean that anyone who will come to study Torah, he will be Zeicha, he will have Torah. If a person will be Omel, if he'll labor, if he'll give himself to Torah day and night, Layasich Daitel Idvorim Acherim, he will not place his interests or preoccupy himself with other things. The Torah is very jealous. He will not want to be Kene Torah VeKovid VeEsher BeBasachas. That he will not try to acquire the wisdom of Torah and wealth and honor at the same time. Vimchai Tsar. If a person will live a difficult life if necessary, and days and nights he will give to Torah, then the Torah will reveal itself to him. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin states, Neif isha chosarev, someone who is unfaithful to his wife is because he lacks heart. He doesn't have his heart is not imbued with the love, with the total love of his wife, therefore he's unfaithful. This is what Shlaima Melech said. Naif isha chos aleif. So the Gemara says, this reply applies to a person who's not faithful to his wife. But Shlaima Melech also was thinking of something else. Zehalei Torah leprokim. This is someone who learns Torah. A little here, a little there. Someone who learns Torah a few minutes here, a few hours there, but does not give himself totally to Torah. He wants to acquire Torah and wealth and comfort and honor altogether. So just like a woman will not give herself over to a man whose heart is not imbued with her love, so will the Torah. The Torah will not give herself over. The Gemara brings, Sod lire'ov. Sod Hashem lire'ov. The secrets of the Torah go only to those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi brings there in Masechta Sanhedrin that when a person learns Torah, Torah doesn't necessarily give herself over. But when he labors and he gives himself faithfully over to the Torah, then the Torah reveals her secrets to him. So we see that the Torah itself is something which is secret. We're not speaking here necessarily about the Nistar. Every bit of Torah is Nistar. Every halacha, someone who studies Torah knows how much you have to break one's head to understand the halacha. And only after days of going over and over it, then do we see, oh, now we understand what the Torah is saying. So since the Torah itself is nista, the Torah itself is concealed, so then when a person comes to Torah, he has to come in such a fashion, with snius, with great modesty. Therefore, Torah is like a yerech, like a thigh. My yerech b'seiser, av divrei Torah b'seiser. Must be dealt with properly. Learned in a beis hamedrash, not learned in the marketplaces. We see even further. The Gemara tells us, not only Torah, but all mitzvahs must be done with snius, with privacy. Not with great fanfare, unless there's a particular purpose for it. The Gemara brings in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. It brings the same drosha. The Divrei Torah is kiyerek, like a thigh. To tell us just like a thigh is beseser, is concealed, so should Divrei Torah be. And then it brings behind the Rebbe Elazar. And this is similar to what Rebbe Elazar said. My deceived, there's a posuk in Micha Vov, a very famous posuk. We have it in one of our haftarahs. Posuk in Micha states, Micha Vov, Posuches. Higid l'cho odun matev. To tell a person, to tell a man what is good for him. A person wants to know what is good for him. So the prophet will tell us, Umo Hashem derish mimcho. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us what is good, and what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu demand from us? Ki im aseis mishpat. He wants us to do justice. Va'avas chesed, he wants us to love kindliness. Va'hatznei aleches im elakecha, and he wants us to walk with him bitznius, see, with privacy, with modesty. Three things he asks from us: mishpat, we should do justice; we should do chesed, kindliness; and we should walk with him ba'halten, in privacy, in modesty. So he brings The Gemara says, "Aseis mishpat ze hadin." To do justice, this is law. That law should be exercised properly. Avas chesed, to do kindliness, zu gemilas kasodim. This refers to being gemil chesed. One should do kindliness to another fellow man. What does it mean? Hatznei aleches imalekecho, that you shall walk modestly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara gives an example. Zu heitzaz ameis b'achnosas kala lechupa. The way we take a dead person to his grave, and the way we take a kala to the chupa. Now, what does that mean? So the Rishonim go into this. What does that mean? Why is this walking modestly, privately? The Maral says, he says that the reason why, when a kala goes to the chupa, there should be people there with her. You know, in the old days, we learned in Masechet Ksubos that it wasn't exactly the way we do it today. But she was taken from her house, and she was led through the streets to the house of the chosen, and that was the chupa. So as she was led through the streets, people would gather with her, and that was hachnosis kala lechupa. See, they would all gather with her and march with her. And taking her, this was fearing the kala to the chupa, taking her to the chupa, this was hachnosis kala. Similar to Eitzaz HaMeis. Eitzaz HaMeis also, they would take the mace to the cemetery, to the grave, and people would gather along. So the Maral says that's the tznius. The fact that people would come and surround them as an escort, this was the tznius. Because it is not covered, it's not honor to her that she should walk alone and open. So it would be like a guard, similar to a king. See, a king walks in the street, so it's not honored for him to walk alone, and it's not honored for him not to be escorted from all sides. So therefore his guards surround him on all sides. There are guards in front, and vanguards in the front, and guards in the back, and guards in the sides. And with a whole army around him, and he in the center, this is the tznius. This is the modesty of the king. And he brings the tznius is very, very, very closely linked to the kovod, to the honor of the king. So he says, this is the mitzvah why we should fear our kala to the chuppah. Because it's a pritzus, it's a too much of an opening. She's too revealed that she should go herself. So she should be surrounded by people. And the same thing with Eitzaz HaMeis. When a person is taken to his grave, also he should be surrounded by people. So that's why the Gemara says, "Vatznei aleches imashim elakecho," that when you walk with Hashem, when you do His mitzvahs, it should be done with snius. Now the Gemara makes a kal v'chaymer. It says, from here we can learn all mitzvahs. Bahalei dvorim kal v'chaymer. Ma dvorim shedaken lasis b'far hesho. Most mitzvahs we don't do in the street. Hachnosis kala is a mitzvah we do in the street. You do it outside, in the open. The same thing with Eitzaz HaMeis. You carry the mace openly. So here we have mitzvahs that we do them publicly, and still Omer HaTorah Atznei Aleches, still the Torah said you should do it in a modest fashion. So Dvorim Shedaken Lasis B'tzina Aleches Kam V'Kam. So if it's something which usually you do privately, so certainly you must do it in a private fashion. See, we have one step further, that not only with Torah must a person be tzanua, but even with mitzvahs. And even with mitzvahs that are usually done publicly, they must be done also, though, in somewhat of a private manner, certainly in another mitzvah. As we see that the quality of tznius is broadening. It doesn't only refer to how a person should reveal himself or conceal himself physically. It refers to where he should learn Torah and how he should learn Torah. It refers to how he should walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atznei Aleches, how he should walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he should do mitzvahs. And then we see even further. The Gemara brings in Megillah. Actually, Thursday night is Purim Kotan. A month before Purim, So it's time to start thinking about Purim. The Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah. Masechta Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel, Sefer Amar Aleph and Amar Beis. Gemara brings that Esther in the Megillah is called Hadassah. Why was Esther called Hadassah? Now we know Hadassah is a plant. It's one of the plants that's used on Sukkot with the lulav and esrog. The Hadassim, this is the myrtle plant. So why was she called Hadassah? So the Gemara brings many reasons. One reason it brings is because she was a tsunua. She was very, very modest. How do we know she was modest? It says because she was a masteres dvoreho. She concealed her words. She concealed her identity. Shenamar ein Esther Megadesis Amo. Ves Maladator. When she went to Ahasuerus, so Mordechai told her, don't tell him who you are. So she wouldn't say. The question is why? Ahasuerus probably was an anti-Semite. For sure he was. So actually it would have been to her benefit that he should know she's Jewish. Then he would have sent her away. So the answer is because Ahasuerus was very interested in royalty. All kings are. And especially Ahasuerus, he was a little self-conscious because Ahasuerus himself was not real royalty. He made himself a king. His former queen, Zeresh, Vashti, she was royalty. She was a granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor of Babylonia. Okay? But Ahasuerus didn't come from such a good background. So he was very interested in at least a good shidduch. And Esther was Malchus. Esther was a descendant from Shaul HaMelech, from King Saul. So Mordechai was fearful that if he will find out that she comes from a king, then for certain he'll keep her. So he told her, he instructed her, don't tell. He kept pressuring her all the time, Ahasuerus. He wanted to know who she was, and especially after he fell in love with her, and after he married her and made her queen, he wanted to know. And he made great banquets in her honor to try to entice her. He even gave gifts to the people and gave tax rebates in order to try to, in her honor. It was tremendous pressure on a young woman. And still it states, Ein Esther Mageresis Amaves Maladator. She didn't talk. She's not saying. So from here the Gemara says that we see that Esther was a snua. Now here again we see, tznius, we're not talking at the physical level. We're talking tznius means the capability of keeping to oneself. Okay? Keeping one's mouth closed when it should be closed. Esther wouldn't say. Whatever he did, Esther wouldn't say. So the Gemara says that's why her name was Hadassah. The Hadassah is a myrtle plant, and the Gemara gives a sign of the myrtle plant. The myrtle plant is very concealed because the leaves completely cover the wood. See, the leaves grow in such a way that it completely covers the wood of the branch. So it's very concealed. So therefore Esther also was like this. Therefore her name was Hadassah. Then the Gemara brings that actually this greatness that she had of tznius, this is something that she built in herself, but she also inherited it from ancestors. Esther had come from Shaul, King Saul. King Saul had come from Binyamin. Binyamin was one of the sons of Rachel. Rachel had two sons, Yosef and Binyamin. So the Gemara brings that Leigore Mitzadik Einov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hold back on the reward of any person. And anyone who does something good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that he will be rewarded and his children generations later will be rewarded. Rachel was a tzanua. And for the reward that she was so modest, Shaul, King Saul, was a descendant. And through the reward of the modesty of Shaul, Zochav Yotzim and Esther. So Esther came forth. What is this all? So the Gemara says, where do we see Rachel with Sotzanua? So it brings that when Yaakov came and he met Rachel. So he said, Ach Yovihu. He told Rachel, I am a brother to your father. He says, we're relations, we're cousins. I am your father's brother. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? What do you mean that he's the father's brother? Yaakov wasn't a brother to Laban. He was related, but he wasn't a brother. So the Gemara says, this was the discussion. He told Rachel, he says, I want to marry you. So Rachel said, my father won't let you. He says, I'll make an agreement with your father. So Rachel said, you won't succeed because my father's a crook. Ramoihu, my father's a crook. Whatever deal you'll make, you'll get the raw end of it. So Yaakov said, Ochi Yovihu, I am your father's brother. If he wants to play square, good, then I'm a relation. If he wants to be a ramoy, if he wants to be a crook, then I can be a crook like him. See, I am his brother. This is what Yaakov answered. So the Gemara says, is that shori? Is one allowed to do such a thing? The Gemara says, yes. See, if you're dealing with a crook, you're allowed to be a crook. This is what the Gemara says. So, what was the plan? So he asked Rachel, what kind of ramois, what kind of swindle will your father do? So she said, I have an older sister, and he won't give me away before the older sister. And even if he'll say that he'll give me away, in the end, he'll switch, and he'll give you the older sister. This is what Rachel said. So Yaakov said, all right, we'll fix him. See? So he gave her a simonim, he gave her certain signs. And that way he could tell, on the night of the wedding, when he would send the kala to him, so Rachel would have the particular signs which were given to her, and that way he will be able to tell if he's getting the right color or not. So this was the plan. So it states, in the morning he learned it was Leah. Michlau, that in, from here we see that in the evening he thought it was Rachel. In the morning, when it was light, he thought it was Leah. But otherwise he thought it was Rachel. Now what happened to the plan? What happened to all the signs? So the Gemara says that Miteich Sibonim Shemosra Lochel Aleah, Lohavi Yoda. Rachel said that my sister is going to the chuppah, and when he'll ask her for the signs and she won't be able to give the signs, he'll chase her out. And it'll be very disgraceful for her. It'll be a great embarrassment. So in order to save her sister from the embarrassment, Mosro Rachel Hasimonim Leah. She gave the signs to Leah. She told her what the signs were. So therefore Leah, when he asked for the signs, Leah gave the signs. So therefore Vayhi Babaker, in the morning he realized it was Leah, but at night he thought it was Rachel. Now the Gemara says that this was a tznius. This was a great tznius, a great modesty on Rachel's part. Where was the modesty? See, what was the modesty here? So Rashi tells us, "Hutzniu shalei sparsim hadover shemos shalei sparsim hadover." See, the tzniu is that the embarrassment of Leah should not be revealed. What is tznius? Tznius is to conceal. The opposite to reveal. She didn't want the identity of Leah to be revealed in order that the embarrassment of Leah should be revealed. She concealed the embarrassment of Leah. This was her great tznius. So the Gemara says, and really she was vying with Leah. See, Leah was an enemy of hers. She was taking her husband. So the Gemara says, because of that, she was zeichet to have a son who was also a great sanua. Who was that Shaul? It says, Lehigidvar Malchus, when Shmuel came to him and he told him about the plans of him becoming king, Shaul didn't tell anyone. He kept it a secret. Keeping a secret, something that should be kept a secret, this is a tznius. And because of Shaul's news, therefore Esther was born. Esther also concealed her identity. where the king could not get from her the identity. She wouldn't tell what her nation is and what her family is, no matter what kind of pressure. This was the tznius. See, here we see another dimension in tznius. Tznius means keeping quiet. Where necessary, not talking. Not revealing matters of privacy that should not be revealed. And this was the great reward that the Torah is speaking of here. One final point, which is a very, very important point, and that is when Mesha grew up in the house of Paray and he went out to see the people and he saw an Egyptian striking a Jew, he killed the Egyptian. The next day he came out again and he saw two Jews fighting. It was Dosan Vavira. So he interceded and he said, Rasha Lomasake Lereacha, wicked person, why are you striking your fellow Jew? Reacha, Vayeme Misom Chalishis is in Shmeis Beis, Posig Yudalit. Vayeme Misom Chalish Sar Vishayfid Aleinu. Who has made you to be a judge over us? Halogeni Ato Imer Kasher Araktes Amitsri. Will you kill us like you killed the Egyptian also? Vayira Meshe Vayemer Achein Neda Adover. So Meshe became very afraid and he said, Oh, Achein, Neda Adover. It has become known. Moshe thought, no one knew that he killed the Egyptian. At least he thought that if anyone knew, he wouldn't say. Now he sees that these two Jews are talking about it. You'll kill us like you killed the Egyptian, they shouted. See? He says, Oh, okay, no doubt over. This has become known. He was very concerned. Vayishma Paray, and eventually Paray heard. So Rashi tells us, Kimashmo, that's the simple meaning. But there's a drosho, midrosho. Neideli adovish yisitome olov. He says, now I understand what was bothering me all this time. Mach chotu Yisrael mikol ein umes. What did Israel do more than all of the other 70 nations of the world? Liyos nirdim ba'avedis perach, lest they should be enslaved with this terrible enslavery. But now I see that they're deserving of it. And the Medrash says, because Shem Dalturian, because they speak Lashon Hora. Because here I killed an Egyptian, and if any Jew saw, he should have kept his mouth shut. And instead, they're talking about it. That's what it means. And now I know why they're enslaved, why this punishment is coming to them. So the Maral explains with great depth that we don't have time to go into now, thoroughly, but in Gvuras Hashem, in a Sefer Gvuras Hashem, to be Megales Sod, to reveal a secret, is just the contrary to the nature of the Jew, contrary to the level of the Jew. Because anything that's physical in this world is revealed. See, the physical world is at a revealed level. But anything that's spiritual in this world is concealed. And the more spiritual it becomes, the more concealed it becomes. In this we have precedents all over. For example, like the Torah that we mentioned. The deeper secrets of the Torah are even more concealed. For example, the Beis Hamikdash. The more sanctified the place, the more it was concealed. The Kohen Gadol, the high priest. It was says, Yikorehi mipnimim, the Kohen Gadol was referred to the one who was like jewels that went deep into the concealed parts. The most concealed part of the Beis Hamikdash, that was the most sanctified. And we have it at a level in the physical world also. Because the more precious something is, the more concealed it is. A diamond is very precious. It's not laying in the street. gold, we spoke about a few shurim ago, even something which might even be beyond this world, it's deep in the ground. See? Pearls are in the sea. The way the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the higher the level of the world, the more concealed it becomes. And therefore, Klal Yisrael, that is the level, the highest level of the people of the 70 nations, they are like the soul of the world. The Gemara tells us that the Neshama is Lon B'Seisr. The Neshama dwells in secret. Where is the soul? There are many great doctors who have written that I have examined the entire human body. I have sifted through the entire brain and I have found no evidence of the soul. They won't find. Because on a Shoma Lon B'Seisr, the soul dwells in the most secret places of the human being. And Klal Yisrael is like the soul of the world. So when Moshe saw that by Klal Yisrael, they talk, they pour out secrets. Ochei no da adover. Now they lost their level. Had they been on their level, no nation would have been able to enslave them. Because they would be at the level of masters. But now they become fallen to the level of other nations which are constantly revealing themselves. Now I know why, not why they're enslaved, but why others are capable of enslaving them. And he used the word ochein. Ochein no da adover, ochein. Ochein is a funny word. Ochein means, kein means yes. Ochein means and yes. Now what is the word? So the Maral writes, kein means yes, and that's chof in a nun. Chof in a nun is the numerical value of 70. This represents the 70 nations of the world. And the word kein means it is. Yes is an agreement, say. It is. In other words, it is apparent. So the word Cain represents something which is revealed. When something is here before us, yes, it's here. That's what the word Cain means. So that represents the 70 nations, and they are revealed. The Aleph always represents the Echod, and that represents Klal Yisrael. They're the one nation. And the letter Aleph, the Gemara always says, is Bahaloma, is silent. Many times the Aleph in a word is not pronounced. If it comes in the middle of the word, you don't hear it, you don't pronounce it. And Aleph means they're one and they're Bahaloma, they're concealed. 70 nations are, yes, they're here, you can see them, totally revealed. Klal Yisrael is the one nation and it's concealed. It's B'Seisr. Moshe said, Ochein, no da hadover. It's become revealed. The Ochein, Klal Yisrael, has become revealed. No longer are they masters. They have fallen to the level of slaves. I never understood how, why they should be enslaved more than any other nation. Now I understand. They were Megaliseid. They revealed the secrets. Now, what we've been speaking about today is the revealed and the concealed. We find that the revealed, that can bring cholila klola. That brings the ayin hara. Even by the greatest things, the giving of the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu had regrets. The giving of the Torah was given with too much fanfare, too much publicity. And he said, this time you come alone, Moshe. Yofe hatznius. Must be given concealed. In a matter of concealment. The Beis HaMikdash, which was completely revealed. Churban happened. Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not count them, because by counting them, you're exactly revealing their quantity. And you're explicitly numbering each one. No, don't count them. It can bring an ayin hara. That's the revealed. Anything that revealed falls. Something that's concealed, that's a level. And that's why bracha is found by that which is concealed. And Torah is concealed. And mitzvah should be concealed. And this is the midah of tznius. This is very important. Because many people, as mentioned, they think that the limitations of tznius has to do with revealing or concealing the human body. That's just one very small area. It has to do with the way a person performs his mitzvahs, the way he studies his Torah, the way he is behalten, the way he conducts his household, the way he minds his own business, that he does not intrude, we're learning on Baba Basra, and other people's privacy. He does not intrude in other people's businesses. He's not a yenta. This all has to do with tznius. And amongst the Litvish Gedalim, they were very tsanua in the way they performed mitzvahs. When they did a mitzvah, they didn't like to do it with great fanfare. They liked to do it behalten. And there were many of the great Gedalim that always would perform mitzvahs more than the halacha required. But where? The Chadre Chadorim, privately in their own house, not publicly. If they would do something a little more than the halacha requires, something which is brought, that it might be midas chasidus, or it might be from the nister, they might have done it, but you didn't see it. This was the tzidus. So, this evening we spoke a little about this parsha of tzidus. Fact is, they never even liked most of the Talmidei Chachomim. You couldn't find out how much they knew. You would ask them what they knew. They wouldn't tell you. We spoke about the tznius and the opposite, which is not concealed, which can bring the Ein Hora. It's a very broad subject, but this gives us some insight into it, and it should give a Jew a hadrocha, a direction in how to conduct his life to bring bracha to his life. Like the Gemara tells us that bracha is found on a dover shesomui mina ayin, something which is hatznei aleches imalakecho, that should be between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.